Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line is Peter Feuerherd of the National Catholic Reporter, of course, talking about the crisis in the church here in Buffalo. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. We've talked with you on this issue before. I'm wondering, you know, from your perspective, writing for a national Catholic outlet, how much attention is being placed on the situation in Buffalo right now and Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone?
A substantial amount. Buffalo is, especially for church insiders and for people interested in how the Catholic Church operates in this country, is really a real focus of attention. How this is handled will determine a lot about how people view how the bishops are able to handle alleged corruption among their own. If you remember back last year or this summer, the bishops approved as a body, national body in Baltimore, they approved an approach to dealing with corruption among their own, which grew out of the whole McCarrick case. Cardinal McCarrick was laicized because of his sexual abuse of seminarians and others. So what's happening in Buffalo is that the bishops as a body decided we are going to discipline our own, which means that in the Bishop Malone case, he will come under the jurisdiction of Cardinal Dolan of New York, who is being pressured to start an investigation, or maybe behind the scenes there's probably a lot of pressure for Malone to step down.
We were told earlier this week, Peter, from Cardinal Dolan's office, that the Archbishop is aware of the situation here and consulting extensively, and that there will be a development in the near future. What kind of development could we be looking at?
Well, I've been reading the same things and hearing the same things you are. I think it could go either one of two directions. Either Bishop Malone will resign or they will begin an investigation. And then that could take a while, but it would be a serious attempt to get to the bottom of all these issues. Which I'm looking at from the outside, the issues just seem enormous, and they never seem to stop. I'm sure Buffalo Catholics are probably more aware of that than I am.
Yeah, it's one of those things where in talking with people this week, both who covered the story nationally and internationally and here, it's amazing how the perspective is on how fast the Catholic Church might move, because we hear from the office of Dolan, and he's saying in the near future. But then we hear from other people who say, well, in the church, the near future could mean anywhere from, you know, a couple weeks to 90 days or, you know, a year or something like that.
I'm looking that there be a more gracious exit ramp to this, which may well be pressured for Malone to resign. It's hard to imagine the diocese trying to keep through this process of a thorough investigation while a bishop is still acting as a bishop.
You know, earlier this week, I was talking with a former secretary to the bishop, a former right-hand man of the bishop who became a whistleblower in the diocese. And he said that one of the things to watch in this situation is that Bishop Malone and the Buffalo Diocese is kind of setting a precedent here, and that he believes the bishop is facing a lot of pressure from other bishops around the country not to resign, not to give in to pressure, because that could, you know, show whether it's parishioners or anybody else in other areas that, hey, we can do this. We can force a bishop to resign with enough pressure. Do you get that same feeling?
I would hope not. That would sound like idiocy on the part of the other bishops to want to continue this process for the sake of showing that the process works. I would look to the option of trying to really force him out. Resignation before all this stuff has to go through. But I may be wrong. I don't have any inside track on that information.
You've seen this crisis play out, though, in other dioceses around the country. Where do you think Buffalo is in the process? Are we near the bottom?
in the bottom of how bad the situation is?
I guess, yes.
I mean, or you're in the top of how bad the situation is. I can only think of one comparable case is the case in West Virginia, which is kind of a preceding issue to this one, in which Bishop Bransfield there was accused of, again, of sexual abuse, of taking money for the diocese, that he lived a very extravagant lifestyle, all these issues. He was forced out as well. So I would say the only comparable case I can think of is the one in West Virginia.
If enough priests lined up, I'm just wondering, how do you think the most likely way that a bishop would be forced to resign is? Is it through the voices of people who go to church on a regular basis? Is it through priests? How do you think that comes?
Well, I'm struck by the reform group run by the organized by the president of Canisius College, Mr. Hurley.
The Movement to Restore Trust.
Yes, they were willing to give Bishop Malone a break. They were willing to say, look, we can work together to change the situation. And my understanding of that group had a lot of big movers and shakers in the Catholic world of Buffalo. When they jumped ship just last week, I thought that was an important sign, because I don't see where he has any support. The very traditionalist Catholics are attacking him via their media organs, organs like National Catholic Reporter, which are, you know, which is considered progressive, et cetera. We're also concerned about the situation. I don't know where he has any support at all, but you're closer to the scene in Buffalo. So I think that to run a diocese without any kind of lay support at all, and also without the support of a huge chunk of your clergy, I don't see how it's possible to go forward.
There is a petition that's being circulated among priests, a vote of no confidence in the bishop. But we're not getting a number on how many have signed it, because the priest that's circulating it says it's been fluctuating because some priests are changing their minds. I mean, they've got to be under a lot of pressure, right?
Yes. From the outside, that looks like, oh, that doesn't look like much, but it is a lot. Priests signing public statements like that about their bishop are very rare. I can only think of situations like the one in Boston before Cardinal Malone was forced to step down. I mean, Cardinal Law was forced to step down, where priests got together and signed petitions publicly to say they have no confidence in their bishop. That is an important step.
And that you can't really think of any other case other than Boston where that has happened in the past?
Well, not in terms of a large group of priests. In other words, if you get a majority of priests together to sign something like that, that's important, because it signals that he's lost confidence with the people he's supposed to lead directly.
Peter, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much. Peter Feuerherd is with the National Catholic Reporter.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.